Okay, we're going to talking about this breaking free from the past. I've been dealing with this for several, this is ninth week actually that we've been working on this. It is leaving those things that have a way of crushing us behind instead of allowing them to dictate to all the rest of our life. That's really what we've been talking about. Breaking free from the past is the first and foremost, we've got to recognize our problems are almost always rooted in sin. And we need to be honest about that. Now, there may have been other people's sins involved. There's no doubt about it. But I'm telling you, sin has a way of messing up life. Number two, the promise is so beautiful. Whether it be your sin or someone else's sin, the promise is really, really precious for life. It's the way, reason why Christians can look at life differently than the rest of the world. Because of the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God. Now, those are not necessarily easy for us to accept, because sometimes we get so self-focused that we only look at woe is me and we stop looking up, or we never have looked up. The process has everything to do with living by God's grace, living in God's grace, living by faith in God's grace. In other words, figure out what God's doing in your life right now, no matter what is in the past, and get in that program and go with it. And that's an exciting truth. No matter what has happened yesterday or what's even happened today, you can wake up tomorrow and give your whole life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And just go forward. And do your level best with what you have to work with. And live with your identity in mind. If you are truly one of His, you're one of His. You are identified as a child of the Almighty. You are one of the joint heirs with Christ. Life is not so bad when you really recognize your identity in Christ. Even if you've been diagnosed with cancer, even if you all sorts of ugly things have happened, we got a future. And the future is independent of the circumstances of today if we know Jesus. Breaking free from the past, you got to take ownership of your life. There is a necessity for stop making it. In our day and age, we need to hear this, all of us do, because we live in a culture that is constantly giving us excuses to blame somebody or something. Take ownership of where you're at. Number two, take aim at what God would have you to do. And number three, start taking some action to do great steps. Okay, here I am. Every time before he leaves me, I sit there and we go over it now. Alex, who loves you? And we go through the family members, but key is that Jesus loves you. And we sing a little song together. I do that over and over and over again because you know what? We need to remember that. We're loved of our, you know, our God loves us so much He sent His only begotten Son. Jesus loved so much that He went all the way to the cross. Anger. Anger, by the way, I'm going to talk about three particular areas that if you have had something in the past, to my personal experience, there are three things that always seem to be plaguing people that can't get beyond the past. One is anger, and anger takes on a lot of different forms. We talked about it last week. We'll talk about it another time at least, not two more. Well, tonight, there is also a need to take a really good hard look at what forgiveness is, because our culture has twisted that to the point where the average believer can't even see what God is saying to us. And three, there is no place for a believer to be overwhelmed in self-pity. And there's so much of that. And you know what? I have to say, it's of the flesh, boy. I can get up and start looking at some things that happened and start feeling sorry for myself. And I'm telling you, I have to check myself on this. But you know what? That doesn't do any good. It has a whole lot better to do with just identifying who we are in Christ. taking ownership for the situations that we're working on. Surprisingly, when I look at my own life, I recognize how many of the real problems that I struggle with I created, or at least I had my hand in it. It wasn't just something did to me. It wasn't like the earthquake. I mean, that problem, the poor people that are dealing with that, you know, they were just there. And I, by the way, I thank the Lord. It wasn't me. I asked myself. I watched a clip. I came home for a break for about 10 minutes, and I am a little addicted to watching the videos on this stuff, just because my heart hurts for them, and I pray for them more intelligently when I see it. But I saw this man who is, a police officer. You might have seen the same clip. Boy, it was touching, though. He was a police officer, and the emergency thing came in. The earthquake had happened, and he left. And he was standing in front of where his house was. And he was weeping that he put his responsibility of his job before his wife and his grandkids. And the house is gone, his wife is gone, and his grandkids are gone. And he was obviously struggling to say, did I do the right thing? Well, wouldn't that be a tough one? A tough decision. But you know what? The decision was made. It was an honorable one, by the way. And he needs to take ownership from where he is and go forward. Do his level best to go forward. Boy, it humbles me to think that I am overwhelmed at times with the challenges I face. They're nothing like a lot of people are facing. Well, there's anger, there's forgiveness, there's self-pity. We're going to continue to talk about anger. First of all, I want to just review a few thoughts here. Introduction. It is perfectly normal to experience anger after any kind of abuse. That's not bad. Some people feel really guilty for that. But you know, that's, as far as I can tell, that's a righteous natural response. Anger can be suppressed until it becomes depression associated with denial. No, we don't want to do that. We don't want to just say, no, I'm not sure. I got to rise above this. Well, no, you've got to recognize what's going on and deal with it biblically. Anger can be communicated both verbally and nonverbally. Silent treatment, just clamming up and doing nothing, to just being irritable all the time, to slamming doors, stomping on the floor. Ever seen it? Alex is a classic example because he's a two-year-old. Two-year-olds are really fascinating for people my age to be around because you really see just the raw life. You know, it's just, they're trying to figure out, you're trying to help them figure out how they have to live with a little self-control, and it doesn't come naturally. You know, stomping on his feet or pouting. And this, my other little grandson is a year old. He has a way when he doesn't get what he wants, and he just puts his head down like this. And then and now he is able to pretty much stand by his own. But if he really gets frustrated, he can't have some. He'll literally do this, and then he'll go down on his knees, and ultimately he'll lay down on the ground. He doesn't say anything. He just lays there looking down at the ground. And we all laugh at him. We say, that is ridiculous, young man. He can get up. But that's not handling anger right. See, even a 1- and 2-year-old have a way of handling disappointments that are not necessarily biblical. And as parents and grandparents and adults, we need to come alongside and say, you know what? That's not going to cut it. That's not okay. It won't function well in life. It is impossible. It is important to realize that while it is understandable to be angry, it is unhealthy to stay angry. That's a powerful statement there, by the way. Because you know what? Things happen that make us angry. And in some respects, it's a feeling that just happens to us. You ever notice that? You know, Pam was out driving today, and she's probably listening to nursing and saying, now what are you talking about that for? I wasn't, so Pam, we'll talk about it later. I wasn't even there, so she told me this. She said, you know, there's such tension in our neighborhood. She said, I was at the stoplight and the light turned green, but I didn't turn right away because there was a person on pushing a bike across the street. I was not going to run over them, but the person behind me went, you know, you've been there, right? You know, or some, the person behind can't see what's going on, but just loses it. Well, it's all right for that to stir your heart a little. I mean, that's a natural response. Well, you shut up. Don't do that. No, you gotta, that's a natural response to feel that way. That's how you handle that. Which becomes very, 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 you know, you can fall into sin in a blink of an eye. Anger has to be dealt with by looking into why it has become a major issue. Decide. I'm going to give you some thoughts here. You might want to write down these thoughts, and we'll come back and we'll build upon this. Decide to deal with anger is the first step. You know that? It's an intellectual recognition. Hey, this is going on. I feel this way. Does anyone in here unable to recognize when they're getting angry? How many of you can recognize when you're getting angry? Jerry, you can't recognize when you're getting angry? Come on now. Just tell the truth now. We don't want to, you know, you don't want to break the Ten Commandments. Okay, we'll leave it alone. No, but the point is, well, the point is you, that's true. But you, even then, you're making my point. You sense it coming and you say, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. And that's a decision you have to make. I'm telling you, there's tons of people that are overwhelmed with anger today, and the first thing they're going to have to do is decide, you know what? I am not going to continue to live this way. I am not going to blow up over everything. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to choose not to blow up over anything. I'm just going to give up on that thought. Have we not been around people like that? The next step is learn to manage it. Now that's a developed skill. You know, Jerry's sitting here at his age. He's obviously been working on it a few years, and you probably do better than you did when you were younger, right? Yeah, so do I. I can say that with very much assurance that God would be pleased with that statement because it's a true statement. I do better with handling that same emotion that I did when I was 20. Anger is legitimate, but must be handled in positive ways. And then it is helpful to be accountable to a pastor, to a counselor, to a, you know, a biblical Christian friend. If you're really trying to get victory in this area, it's a good thing to just admit it to someone who you know and is around you and say, will you help me? Hold me accountable on this. Because if you're getting overwhelmed by anger, it's amazing how you've gotten comfortable just with, and you, in some respects, you may not even recognize it's going on. Anger. The energy that anger produces can lead to great harm. Look at people that are angry and then look at the people around them. I could name some names, I'm obviously not going to, but name some names where if they call and you see it on their caller ID, you hate to answer. Can you identify anybody like that? There's somebody's calling and you just, oh man, I don't know if I can handle this. The probability is it's not going to be a pleasant call. The same energy can be used to bring about great healing. Because it is an energy that's going on. And you need to be very careful how you use this energy. And for some, the problem with anger has been a lifelong struggle. But it doesn't have to continue. You may even view yourself as an angry person, but you do not have to continue to be an angry person if you know Jesus Christ, because it isn't his way. We are to be known not by our anger, but by our love, by our patience, by our long suffering. Anger can be passed on to children by their parents by through modeling. It is, and we're going to talk about that. But It is a God-given thing that even in our culture particularly, we're so self-focused that many people, because they come to the conclusion, well, that's a feelings are not right or wrong. You know, they just are God-given, and that's part of being human. But I'm telling you, people falling into sin all the time because it's consuming them and it's destroying them. You should, actually. Yes, and that's the point. That's where, Jerry, I'm really not disagreeing with that at all. That's where I'm headed, actually. But the point is that many, many people have gotten so comfortable with anger being okay, when in fact they are just slaughtering all of their meaningful relationships. They're cutting them up, making it so no one even wants to be anywhere close. Yes, I don't disagree with that either. Fact is, that's why I'm spending more time on anger than on other things. And we need to be careful that one of the blessings of watching what's going on in Japan is to remind us of how we should be responding in difficult situations. Okay, that's not our culture right now. And so as Christians, let us not model our culture. Let's model what the Word of God says. And it's ironic that a bunch of people that don't really know Jesus Christ as a culture are doing a better job of modeling the type of behavior that's spoken of in the Word of God. Let it not be said that of us. Whatever the cause of anger, our job is to determine when anger is warranted and when it is not. And there are times when it is warranted. We must also learn to deal with the negative and positive aspects of anger. We need to start recognizing and saying, all right, this is the way I'm going to respond. This is not okay. Or this is okay. Not all anger is wrong. And I'm going to go through a series. In fact, as I wrote them, I wrote the verse numbers here. And this is an important point that, Jerry, you were making at the start of this thing. Psalm 7:11 tells us God is a just God, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Well, it doesn't sound like being angry is a bad thing, does it? If our God does it, God himself sometimes gets angry, and he particularly gets angry with wickedness. And by the way, that's better than just getting passive with wickedness, which is what our culture has done. It doesn't even matter to us now that there's prostitutes out on the streets of our city. And there are drug dealers out on the streets of the city. Now, it's an interesting tension because the behavior is really, really wicked. But we have the great opportunity to possibly connect with them and introduce them to Jesus Christ, and that will truly transform them. In 1 Kings chapter 11, it says this, "So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice." Okay, so if we're going to model God in anger, one, angry and being angry at wickedness is a good thing. Being angry when people turn from God, that ought to stir us up. It ought to produce. Now, when I'm saying getting angry with someone that's turned away from God, that doesn't justify you going over there and grabbing them by the shoulders and slamming them in the wall. Doesn't justify that. But it does justify you getting enough stirred up so you go over and talk to them and say, listen, brother, this is not okay. This is not an acceptable testimony before God. What are you thinking? 2 Kings tells us this about our God. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them from his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah alone. They had turned to worshiping other gods. And God says, enough is enough. His anger stirred him to act on judgment against them. I mean, we are to have the mind of Christ, the mind of God. It's an interesting point that this energy does have a way of getting us involved in issues we may not have otherwise chosen to be in, if we really have the heart of God. Mark chapter 3, verse 5, just using one more. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, notice what is getting him stirred up here. They were callous to the things of God and the people around them. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. He was fed up, if you remember this portion of scripture, with the Pharisees saying, no, this is the Sabbath, don't heal the man. And he just couldn't, you're kidding me. You know, you want this man to remain crippled and you don't care about him? And you're more concerned about your rules? That really, really ticked him off. And he says to the man who is all crippled, he says, stretch out your hand and be restored, made whole. And he was fed up with those other religious hypocrites. Jesus showed zealous anger towards the Pharisees who didn't have a heart for the hurting people. Now, guess what? This passage bothers me in a way that it probably doesn't bother some. But you know how it bothers me? How I can get comfortable with what's going on in my neighborhood with just heartbreaking situations and at times just be too tired to involve myself and say, hey, you know what? I could go talk to that person. Now, Catherine, it's why I said to you, have John call me. You know, it's heartbreaking to think of the young man getting out and not knowing how to put his life together and needing to get, listen. But at different times, you can get enough of those phone calls where you don't want to receive the phone call. You understand the challenge? It ought to stir us to say, you know what, I'm going to have compassion on the hurting. And I want to do what I can do to help people that want to go the right way. Okay, not all anger is right. And I'll close this up very quick so we have a little time for prayer here. This verse, these two verses are very fascinating. They tell at least two, if not five things. I think I have 5 points in this. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, nor give place to the devil. I want you to note this latter part is a good point to think about. What does it mean, do not let the sun go down upon your wrath? That's the most typical way it's preached. Could you ever imagine a husband and wife that were so out of control with their anger that the smartest thing they could do is just cool off and it may be that one has to leave so that no one gets hurt and then they talk in the morning? I don't think God would be saddened by that in some situations. But the point is, don't make that your home. There is an aspect about this is clear. You need to deal with anger. And whether you have to deal with it right that second, sometimes you got to get a grip. I do have a problem with anger. And when I was younger, it was totally out of control. But there are times now that I still have to do it. I say, hold on a second. I just need, I find some space to, why do I do that? To make sure that I'm able to look at it from God's perspective. Now, it'd be surely better that I would be able to instantly do that. And I try, and I don't think I'm characterized any longer as an angry person. But I'm telling you, it's better for me to walk away than to hit somebody. When I was 20, that's what I did. Yeah, I'm not proud of it, but that is, in fact, what went down. I'm amazed today. Well, we'll leave that alone. Be angry and do not let your sin go down. One of us is not all anger is sin. Because it says, look, be angry and do not sin. So clearly, all anger is not sin. Jerry, it's your point. Okay? Clearly. It's an energy. It's a God-given emotion. Number two, anger, which is not resolved quickly, could give a foothold for the devil. And that's why that verse is saying, do not let the sun go down. What it's really talking about is don't let a lot of time lapse before you deal with this. It doesn't mean that sometimes in your growth and how to handle this, you don't need some space. That's where the world's gotten up with this timeout stuff. And there is some wisdom in it in some respects to get a grip. Ever taken, I'll go back to the two-year-old scenario again. I've having a few two-year-olds around late. You ever had a two-year-old that kind of loses it and you just sit there and you just hold them for a little bit? Now hold on, think about this. It's all right. Hang on there. And then eventually you can just feel the calmness come over them, and then you can talk to them. That's my point. But you can't just let us go on for indefinitely. Determine whether your anger is righteous. And then determine to deal with it. Whether it's righteous or not righteous, you got to deal with it. But you deal with it differently. In 2 weeks, we're going to talk about righteous anger. And we're going to keep going talking about this some more. I think it's healthy for us as a group of people that are trying to model Christ to really think through this topic.